Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Raymond Cohen, the Skelem Mitzvot. Today's daf has been dedicated to Eilu Nishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanichem Began Eden Amen. We are starting on daf Chav Zayin Amud Bet, and we will begin right on the bottom line. Umi Amar Abaye. Let's just review where we were holding until this point. We are discussing the subject of Ma'aser. And Ma'aser Sheni. Halakha says that Ma'aser Sheni, you take to Jerusalem and you eat it. The first and the second and the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah. However, if it's too cumbersome to take all the food to Yerushalayim, you're able to make pidyon, where you're able to transfer the money to a coin, and you take the kesef to Yerushalayim and you spend it on food stuff. So in yesterday's sugya we learned a concept of habla'ah, that if in the food stuff you have some non-food stuffs and it's mixed in, it's okay. We had a pasuk that gave us some examples. The pasuk discussed bakar. Bakar taught us that even if a person buys an animal, cattle, and the hides are attached to it obviously, and they're not edible, you don't have to sell the hides now for more food. It's considered habla'ah. It's swallowed into the price, and it's okay. Basun taught us that even if the sheep has shearings on it, it has wool, so the wool becomes part of the sale. You don't have to sell the wool separately to get food. Habla'ah. Bayayin, even if you buy wine in barrels, so you don't have to resell the barrels for food. And bashechar, we said, is talking about temid. Let me review what temid was. Temid was these sediments of the grapes that are soaked in water. So even though it has majority water and only has a little of the fruit, a little of the grape in there, the excess of it is water, still, since it has the flavor of the peri in there, of the grape in there, and then it's considered to miss, you don't have to subtract the water content of it, it's considered habla'ah. Very good. And then we saw the Gemara learned a klal prat klal. What was that? Because if you look in the pasuk says v'natata kesef bechol asher ta'aveh nafshecha. That's a klal. Babakar ubason ubayayin ubashechar. That is a prat. Ubchol asher tish'alecha nafshecha. That is a prat. So you have a klal, a prat, klal. Now, the general rule with a klal, prat, klal is where we can come and include things that are similar to the prat. And what is the characteristics of our prat? So we said, just like they are a peri from a peri, which means they come from something, like an animal comes from the animal, and the wine comes from the grape. They all come, products of something. And also they are gidule karka. And they also all come from the ground. They all nurture or sustain themselves from the ground. So therefore any item like that would be considered permissible to use for the money of Ma'asir. That was one braita. Another braita also learned it in the klal prat klal, but had a different common denominator between the two. The common denominator according to the second braita was the prat is vlad viladot ha'aris. It was created from the ground or on the ground during Sheshet Yemei Ma'aser Bereshit. Which means anything that was created on the ground, on Sheshet Yemei Ma'aser Bereshit, just like the animals were, just like the trees, the grapes, etc. So that can be used for Ma'aser money. So the Gemara said, what's the difference between the two Braitot? So Abaye came along and said the difference is going to be dagim, fish. If you say gidule karka, if you say something that sustains itself from the ground, fish sustain themselves from the ground of the ocean. And therefore, you can use your money for fish. According to the Shita that says, no, it's got to be something that was created on the ground during Shesh Tzimim Maaseh Bereshit, fish cannot be included. So the two braitot, Abaye holds the nafkamina, is going to be what? Dagim. Are you going to be allowed to buy dagim with the money of Maaseh? To that, Gemara says, Umi Amar Abaye, dagim gedulei karkaninu. Does Abaye indeed hold that fish are considered gedulei karka because they eat from the bed of the ocean? Does that make them gedulei karka? Does that make them sustained from the ground? Why not? Ve'amar Abaye, Abaye said, Achal potita. A person ate a potita. What is a potita, as she says? Sheretz ha'mayim katan. He ate a small creature that crawls in the water. It's called a potita. Now we know there's a general restriction against eating sheratzim, against eating these crawling creatures. Now, some creatures are hayav more times than others. This is a classic case in the Torah where the Torah repeats consecutive restrictions on certain isurim, which means it's not only written once that you're not allowed to eat a sheretz, it's written many times. And the shita of Rashi is that every time it's mentioned, it's considered another isur, and therefore it's considered you transgressed another lav, and therefore you can get an extra set of malkut. Which is every time it says in the Torah, it's to add and tack on another lav to get more malkut. Now, there are two standard pesukim that say you cannot eat sheretz. So any sheretz you eat off the bat, you're going to get two isurim, and you're going to be hayav 39 malkut for each one. And now, there's even some more. The Gemara says, Achal potita loke arba. You're going to get four isurim, four sets of malkut. Why? Rashi. Potita sheretz ha'mayim katan. She'en bo kezayit. Doesn't even have to have the shoot of a kezayit. Ve'afidu achi kibal de biriyahi, since you're eating it in its full state. You don't have to have a kezayit. Since you're eating a full, complete creature, achilai, it's considered a substantial eating. Ve'loket dalid malkuyot. Four malkuyot. Why? Be'sheretz ha'mayim ketiv. בתורת כהנים, אל תשקצו את נפשותיכם בכל השרץ השורץ. That's one. ולא תטמאו בהם. That's two, הרי כאן שניים. וחלל בהם בין שרץ הארץ ובין שרץ הארץ. That's the general איסור of שרץ. ומשום מבשרם לא תאכלו. That's three. ומשום וכל אשר אין לו סנפיר וקסקסת לא תאכלו. So you have two specific ones that talk about שרץ המים. We have the two general שרץ איסור, and then the two of Sheretz Hamayim. So if you eat a potita, you get four. Next. Nimala. That's an ant. Loke Hamesh. You get five isurim. How do you get five isurim? So that she calculates them. Nimala. Shu Sheretz Ha'aretz. Loke Hamisha. Tarte Hadamran. The two standard. Vechol Holech Al Gahon. Lechol Sheretz Ha'aretz Lo Tochelum. Haregimal, that's the third one. Vechol asheretz ashoretz la'aretz sheketzu lo yochel. That's four. Haredalet. Velo tatameu nafshotechem vechol asheretz haromes la'aretz harechamisha. So in the mala you get five sets of malkut. Sira'a. What's a sira'a? That's like a hornet. Loke shesh. You get six sets of malkuyot. How? Lashi. Tzara'at lokeshesh. She sheretz ha'of. That's considered a flying creature. Ve'lake becholane hamisha. You get the five standard already. And then mosif ala v'chol sheretz ha'of. You get another isur of sheretz ha'of. Sheketzu lo yochav v'shne Torah. So therefore you get the five of Nemala plus the extra one of Sheret Sa'of. So therefore these three items, the Potita you get four, the Nemala you get five, and the Tzera you get six. Now the Gemara raises this question. V'im ita, and if you're telling me that fish are considered Gidule Karka, so the potita, which is a sheretz that goes in the mayim, you should get an additional two or additional three because of sheretz ha'aris, which is why did you tell me the potita is only hayav four? If you're telling me that fish are considered gidule karka, so therefore the potita should be considered also a sheretz of the aris, and therefore you should be hayav an additional three. Because we said that the Nimala, which goes on the ground, has the two standard plus the three of Sheretz Ha'aretz. So therefore the Potita has its four, plus it should include the three of Sheretz Ha'aretz. Abayi, you told me that fish are considered Gedule Karka. If it's Gedule Karka, so therefore it's considered from the Ha'aretz. So therefore you hayab, should be hayab an additional three. So the Gemara asks that, V'imita Potita nami lilke mishum Sheretz Ha'aretz Ha'aretz. And therefore it'll take you to seven sets of Malkuyot. Ela Amar Ravina. So Ravina comes along and says, Ofot Ika Benayhu, which means you're right. Really, Dagim are not considered Gidule Karka. And according to both Braitot, Dagim are excluded, meaning you can't spend your Maaser money on Dagim. It is not considered something that was created on the land, nor is it something that is considered being sustained from the land. So no matter how you learn the two braitot, fish are definitely excluded. Oh, so then what's the difference between the two braitot? So the Gemara says, Ravina, ofot ikabenayu, birds are going to be the difference. Nafkamina, could you spend your maaser money on birds? Ofot. What's the nafkamina? So the Gemara explains. Lemanda amar peri me peri. The gedule karka, according to the opinion that says, the common denominator between all the things in the pasuk are, it's a peri from peri, meaning it is created from something else. They grow from the ground. Obviously, birds sustain themselves from the ground. But according to the opinion that says only items that were created in Sheshet Yemei Maaseh Bereshit from the ground, tells a big hadush. Birds, ofot, according to this opinion, were not created from the ground. They were created actually from the water. Now eventually they ended up on the ground. But originally they were created from what's called rekek. Rekek is the water that meets like the shoreline, that meets the ground, the ocean, and that water at the border, God used that water to create ofot. So therefore, ofot, according to this opinion, are not considered created in Shesh Shemim Bereshit from the ground or on the ground. They were actually created originally in the water, and then they move to the ground. So therefore, according to that opinion, ofot are going to be not permissible to buy with maaser money. So the Gemara says, man de marbe ofot, according to the opinion that includes ofot, my ta'ama, what's the reason? Uman de mam'it ofot, my ta'ama, and what's the reason that the one that is mam'it ofot, that minimizes ofot, what's the reason? Meaning, both are learning a klal prat klal. There's two braitot. Both braitot learn a klal prat klal. One klal prat klal included ofot, and one klal prat klal excluded ofot. So the Gemara wants to know how they got to that conclusion. After all, they're both learning a klal prat klal. So why did one include and one exclude? So the Gemara says, man did marbe ofot, the opinion that included ofot, kasabar, klala batra davka. Now, when you have a klal prat klal, that's a general, a specific, and then a general. So, every klal prat klal, you could look at it two ways. You could look at it as, it's a klal prat, primarily, and then we added another klal to it, or you could look at it as a prat klal, and we added the first klal to it, which means there's stages in learning a prat klal. Because there's a big difference between a klal prat klal, where the rule is you only include things that are similar to the prat, that's a klal prat klal, between, let's say, a prat klal. If you only had a prat klal, let's say, a specific and then a general, the law is you include everything. When you have a prat klal, specific and then a general, the rule is anything becomes included. It's all inclusive. Now, if you start the derasha like this, primarily this pasuk is a prat klal, which is all inclusive, right? But now you have your original klal, then it becomes a klal, so therefore we're going to limit, obviously, because once it's a klal, prat klal, we don't come to include everything. But since it primarily started off as a prat klal, which is all inclusive, the klal is not going to limit that much. It's weaker, exactly. If you started off the other way, however, if you started off primarily as a klal prat, now a klal prat is very strict. Klal prat means you only learn what the prat is, which means in the klal it's only what is the prat, which means only those three examples that becomes the case, nothing else. So when you have an additional klal, it's coming to include a little more. So it's, however, since it starts off restrictive, so the second klal only adds a little more, because it started off very restrictive. In the first way of learning, where you start off primarily as a prat klal, it's very inclusive, starts off. And therefore the klal, the second klal, is just going to come and minimize a little less. So that's going to be the machloket over here. When this klal, prat, klal, and the truth is in every klal, prat, klal, you have to ask that question. How did it start off? Did it start off as a prat, klal, and you added a klal? Or did it start off as a klal, prat, and you added a klal to it? Which means, where's your starting point? Then you'll know exactly what your second klal, how much it's doing. Is it coming to include more or less? And now let's read that inside. These are all rules in the Derashot. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ita ma'man demarbe ofot." The opinion that includes ofot, that says what? That you can use maaser money to buy ofot, birds. Kasabari holds klala batra davka. He says the main klal in the pasuk is the second klal, and therefore primarily the pasuk is a prat uchlal, which means the second klal is the main one. You have a prat right before it, meaning you have babakar, babason, bayayin, bashechat. That's the prat. The second klal is bechol asher tavein afshecha. So that's ikar. When you start the pasuk, you learn it like that as a prat klal, and therefore naasa klal mosif ala prat. That klal obviously includes more than the prat. Ve'etrabu lehu kol mile. And really includes everything. And then what? Ve'ahane klale kama. So what does the first klal then come and do? Minimizes a little. Lemeute kol delo damile mishne stadim. It's going to come to exclude only things that are not similar to the prat in two ways. Which means, so long as it's similar to the prat in two ways, you're okay. But if it's not similar in two ways, the first klal comes to minimize. Now, and therefore, what is that going to tell us? So therefore, that's going to tell us, what are the two ways? Number one, it's a peri from a peri, and it sustains itself from the ground. Now, a bird has those two qualities. The bird is created from something else. It's a peri from a peri. It's created from something else, from another bird, right? And it also sustains itself from the ground. Therefore, it is included in the kesef of maaser. Beautiful. Uman demimayet ofot. And the opinion that says no, ofot are excluded, his starting point on the derasha is different. He starts off Kasamar klala kama davka. He says, no, the first klal of the pasuk, that's the primary klal. And therefore, klal prat. It starts off as a klal prat. That's very restrictive. Why? Ve'en bechlal ela mashe beprat. Because in a klal prat, you only have what the prat is. Which means, babakar, basun, those four cases and nothing else. So what does the second klal do? The second klal adds a little for you. Hani in midya harina lo. The klala batra, the second klal, what does it do? Liribuye kol de damile mishlosha stadim. It's going to come and tell you, no, if you want to include other things, it has to be similar to the prat in three things, meaning it's more restrictive. And therefore, what are the three things? Peri miperi, sustaining itself from the ground, and created from the ground on sheshet yemei maaseh bereshit. That's going to exclude birds. Because the birds, while they are peri miperi, while they do sustain themselves from the ground, but they weren't created on the ground during sheshet yemei maaseh bereshit. They were created from the water, from the rekek mayim, as we learned in the Gemara. Then they moved to the ground, but they originally emanated from the rekek. So therefore, basically, the source of why one rabbi includes the off and one rabbi excludes the off is their starting point in the klal prat klal. Comes the Gemara and continues. But it comes out again, according to both those braitot, fish are excluded according to Ravina. Yeah. Meaning fish are out. That's not the discussion. Definitely fish are not considered sustaining themselves on the ground. Right? Birds is mahloket, fish no question. Okay, that's according to Ravina. Whereas according to Abaye, on the last Amud, he wanted to say that no, that was the difference between the two braitot, is fish included or not. So we have a mahloket how to learn the two braitot. Abaye will say the nafkamina between the two braitot are what? Fish. According to Ravina, the nafkamina is not fish, the nafkamina is going to be the ofot. Do you include ofot or not? Now we learned yesterday, just to review the opinions of the Tanaim, Rabbi Yehuda bin Gadish and Rabbi Eliezer, they both hold fish is definitely permissible. Their only mahlok between those two rabbis was, is the seer of the dagim permissible or not? The Yehuda ben Gadish held the seed is permissible. That's the brine that comes out of it. And the Eliezer said the seed is no good unless you have some of the actual fish, right, the innards inside. And the Gemara continues. Amar Yehuda meshemed Rav Shmuel bar Shelat meshemed Rav. Now we discuss different foods that may be used in the to make an Eiruv. Okay? So the Gemara says, the first item we're talking about over here is Me'arbin be'fa'afu'in u'bahalag logot u'begud ganiyot. What are these items? So pa'afu'in, that she says, we don't know what it is. It's an unknown vegetable. Halaglagot, that she says it's regala. In English they call it porcelain. And good ganiyot, in Hebrew they call it kuzbara, and in English they call it coriander. Right? So these three items, they're basically like they're spices. Okay? So you could use these items for your eruv. Yeah, what are we talking about? Remember we said, if you want to extend your eruv tehomin. So as long as you set some food up in a certain spot before Shabbat, it's considered okay. So we learned in the Mishnah, you can't use water, you can't use salt. But now we're telling you, these spices, if you put them there before Shabbat, since people eat them alone as well, it is permissible. However, aval, lo behaziz. You can't use haziz. What is haziz? That is the wheat. Before it's ripened, it's still green, right? It's hard. And they cut it early. So since that's really not considered so edible, that's not going to be used for eruv. Velo bechafniyot. Chafniyot are dates that have not ripened yet, and they're still inferior. And therefore, since it's not the derech to eat them like that, you cannot use them for the eruv. So comes the Gemara and says, ubegud ganiyot mi me'arvin. You're telling me you could use good ganiyot, which we said is the coriander. Is that permissible? That, and yeah, we learned in the Braita, good ganiyot merube banim, which means
Yuchlu. If a person has a lot of children already, he can eat coriander. Why? Because coriander has a trait, it limits the zera of a person. So the Gemara says, only somebody that has a lot of children already can eat coriander, because they don't have to worry about his zera. However, hasuche banim, people, God forbid, that don't have children, lo yuchlu. They shouldn't eat the good ganiyot. Why? Because it's going to minimize the zera. Ve'imu kshu lezera. However, if the stalks of the good ganiyot, the coriander, became hardened, which means after the seeds ripen, the stalk becomes hardened, af merube banim lo yuchlu. Then even the guy that has a lot of children shouldn't eat them, because then they're damaging to everybody. So the Gemara's question is, you see that this coriander is really not viable for everybody. So therefore, how could you tell me you can use it for an eruv? Here you're telling me hasuche banim shouldn't eat this version of it, and you're telling me everybody shouldn't eat the hardened version of it. So we thought that when it comes to eruv, it has to be edible. So the Gemara says, very simple answer. Targema ashelo hukshu lezera umrube banim. Yeah, we're talking about a case where they're still soft, and who made the eruv? Somebody that has a lot of children. So since to him it's edible, he's allowed to make an eruv so that he can eat. Second answer, v'ibayit ema le'olam lahasuche banim. Really, I can tell you, no, even the guy that was making the eruv is somebody that doesn't have children. But since it's edible to somebody else, to the guy that has children, it doesn't have to be edible to the guy himself. It has to be edible to someone. Where do we learn that from? From our Mishnah. Mi lo tenan? Didn't we learn in the Mishnah? Me'arvin le'nazir b'yayin? Didn't we say that a nazir can make an eruv with wine even though he can't drink wine? Ul Yisrael b'truma? Didn't we say a Yisrael can make an eruv b'truma even though he can't eat teruma? So he's just looking for edible to somebody else. Alma, afal gav de lo hazeh lehai. Hazeh lehai. Hachaname, here too. Afal gav de lo hazeh lehai. No, it's not befitting for one person. Hazeh lehai. Iba'et ema, third answer. Ki ka'amar Rav. When did Rav make his din that says you could make an eruv with good ganuyot? With a certain good gadayot that grow in madai, that they don't damage anybody, which means there's different coriander. When Rav was saying you could make eruv with coriander, he was talking about the special coriander that comes from madai. That is not damaging to anybody. Not for hasuche banim, not for merube banim, and therefore he said it is permissible to use it for the eruv. And now we go to the next point. Ubehaziz lo, you told me that what? That this unripened wheat you cannot use as eruv. So the Gemara challenges that. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Keshut. Keshut is hops. The haziz, that's the unripened wheat. Me'arvin bahem. He clearly says you can use them for the eruv. Umbarechim alehem bore pri adama. And you also make a beracha on these items, bore pri adama. So how could you tell me? We have a clear statement that says you can use haziz. La kasha. Ha mekame de'atarav lebabel, veha lebatar de'atarav lebabel. Depends when Rav made the statement. Because actually this is a stiran Rav himself. In one place Rav told us, because Rav was the beginning statement, Amar Rav Yehuda, Mishimed Rav Shmuel, Mishimed Rav. So Rav told us in one place, haziz, no good. Now Rav's telling us, haziz is good. So the Gemara answers, when did he say it was no good? That was before he got to Bavel. But when he got to Bavel, he changed his mind. Why? So the assumption of the Gemara is now, that when Rav was in Eretz Yisrael, he said, who eats haziz? Nobody eats this haziz stuff. Therefore, it's not worthy for an eruv. When he got to Bavel, he saw the people in Bavel, they eat it. And therefore he said, okay, if they eat it, it's considered an ochel. So he changed his mind. So the Gemara says, Ubabel havya ruba de alma? Says, well, just because you have people in Babel that eat the haziz, so that already, they're considered the majority of the world. Most of the world does not eat haziz. And therefore, just because you got some people in Babel, why should that change the halakha?
They're not the koveya. So you have the bavel, one place where you have to eat it. But the majority of the world does not eat it. So why does Rav base his deen on the minhag of bavel?
And the Gemara has a proof to this. V'atanya, we have a braita. Haful, ful is a type of bean. V'se'ora, se'ora is barley. V'tiltan. Tiltan, in English they call it the fenugreek. Shizra'an liyarak.
You planted these things in order to eat the when they were still green. Now it's not normally eaten that way, but the guy who planted these vegetables, his kavanah was he's going to eat them when they're still green, meaning they're not ripened yet. Okay, he wasn't going to wait until they're totally ripened. So what's the deen? Batla da'to etzel kol adam, meaning this guy is in the minority over here, and therefore it's batla da'to. He's considered negated. In what sense? He's not obligated to give ma'aser on these items. You only give ma'aser on a fruit after it's finished growing. If you pick it before its growth, so you're not obligated ma'aser. Now for this guy, he's showing that he wants to eat it in this stage. Since it's not the normal way to eat it in this early ripened stage, therefore he's batel, therefore he's not obligated to give ma'aser. Right? Lefichach zara'an hayav. Which means, when they finally grow into the ripened stage, he's going to be hayav on ma'aser, even though when he planted it, his kavanah was not for that stage. Virakan, in the green stage, patur for ma'aser, since the majority of people do not cut it at that stage, even though he did, you go after the majority of people. So right there's the question of the Gemara. You don't go after what the people are doing, you go after the majority. So therefore the Gemara continues. Side point. Hashahlaim v'agargir. These are type of also herbs. What are they? Shahlaim, they call cress. And gargir is
garden
rockets.
Okay. Hashahlaim v'agargir. Shizar'an liyarak.
You planted it to eat them when they were to eat them in the vegetable stage.
Mit'asirim yarak vazera.
So you have to give ma'asir on both parts of it, on the vegetable part of it and on the seed part of it.
Zara'an lezera.
If you planted them in order to eat the seeds, mit'asirim zera v'yarak. You have to give ma'asir on both. Why? Because when it comes to these two items, they eat in both ways. So therefore, they're eating in the vegetable state, they're eating in the seed state. So therefore, on items that's normal to eat both ways, you have to give ma'asir both ways. But on the fool, on the se'ura, and on the tiltan, since it's only normal to eat them in the zera stage, when they're in the ripened stage, we'll call it, if a guy plants them and cuts them early, he's going to be patur for ma'asir. Why? Because we go after most people. So back to the question, Rav. You went to Bavel. So you saw some guys in Bavel, they were eating haziz. She said, oh, they eat haziz, you could use it for Eruv. What do you mean? Do we go with Rov? So the Gemara says, Ki ka'amar Rav, when did Rav say his deen? Bedeginuyata. He was talking about the haziz that grows in the garden. Which means the garden haziz, everybody eats. She's Rav made two statements. The statement that says haziz you can't use for an eruv, that's the regular haziz. I don't care if they're eating it in Bavel. Bavel is not the majority, and therefore you cannot use haziz. Aye, but he made another statement that says you can. Yeah, I wasn't talking about the regular haziz. I'm talking about the garden haziz, which is permissible. Now the Gemara goes back to a point and says, the Gemara said, we learned on the Braita above, that when it comes to the gargir, for example, that's there's garden rockets that you're planting. We said you hayav ma'asir at both stages. The vegetable, the green stage, like before they're ripened, and in the ripened stage. So the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. I understand in the stage that it's ripened, people eat it. But what purpose do people use this unripened gargir for, that you're going to tell me it's hayav ma'asir in that stage as well? So the Gemara says, "Zera gargir le mai hazeh." What is it? What is it ra'ui for? What is its purpose? So the Gemara says, which means it's really not ta'ui la'akhirah. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Hanan, Sheken, Rishonim, Shelo aya lahem pilpelin, the people that did not have, let's say, pepper, Shohakin oto, they would take the gargir and they would crush it, Umatpilin bo etatzali, and they would dip their roasted meat into it. So they would use it as a condiment. So therefore, instead of black pepper. So therefore, since they would use it, therefore it's considered achila, and therefore you'd be hayav in maaseh. Now the Gemara tells a story. Rabbi Zera, ki yava chadish megirseh. Rabbi Zera, when he was tired from limud, which means he wasn't able to learn anymore the bet midrash, haba azir v'yativa petchad Rabbi Yehuda Barameh. He would go sit at the entrance of the yeshiva of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ameh. He would go sit by the entrance. For what purpose? Amar, he said, Ki nefkeva ilil Rabbanan. He says, when the rabbis will enter and exit the yeshiva, Iku mekamayu, I'll stand up in front of them, Ve'kabel behu agra, and I will get reward. Which means, the Torah says, if you stand in front of a Tamil Hakam, you get reward. So therefore he said, listen, I don't have the head to learn, so at least let me go get some zechuyot. So I'll stand by the entrance of the yeshiva. When they walk back and forth, I'll stand up. Every time I stand up, I get a mitzvah deoraita. So he positioned himself in a way in order to fulfill this mitzvah of mepenese batakum vadarda penezakin. So Rav Hida asked the obvious question, which we learned in Masechet Berachot, this Gemara as well. Gemara Rav Hida clearly says, I'll do it in order to receive reward. Right, Vekabel Agra, he's going into this mitzvah with kavana for the reward. What do you mean? We learned in Pirkei Avot that you shouldn't serve God for the pras, for the reward. You have to be the Shem Shamayim. So Hida answers that that's only talking about when it's something that's mandatory. Which means, for example, putting on tefillin in the morning is an obligation. It's a hayuv. Therefore, you have to serve God the Shem Shamayim. Standing up for a zakin, there's no obligation to put yourself in a position to go stand by the entrance of the door to go and have to stand up for the hakamim, which means if you happen to be sitting and a hakam walks by, you stand up. But you have to go now, stand in front of the door and put yourself in the obligation to stand up for the tamid hakamim? Mm-hmm. No, this would be considered midat hasidut. And therefore, since midat hasidut, you're allowed to do it for the reward. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the hayuv, no, but midat hasidut, yeah. The Bnei Yisachar gives a different answer to explain the bizira. The pasuk says, "Vadarta penezaken v'yareta melohecha ani Hashem." At the end of the pasuk, it says, "And you should have, and you should fear God. I am Hashem." So the Bnei Yisachar learns beautiful. He says, "The reward for standing up for tamidei hachamim is you will be given yirat shamayim. That is the payback for kavod Torah. When one respects Torah, God rewards him with yirat shamayim. That's why it says at the end of the pasuk, v'yareta." So therefore, what Rabbi Zera was saying, "Ve'kabel agra, I'll get reward," meaning the reward of the yareta menohecha. Meaning he wasn't talking about the reward of olam haba and gara'ed and all that. He was saying, "I'll get the reward that the Torah guarantees us for respecting tamidei hachamim." In any event, that's what Rabbi Zera did. Nafak atayinuka deberav, as he was sitting by the door, a young child from the yeshiva walked out. Amar leh, so Rabbi Zera asks him, "My agmerach rabbach, what did your rabbi teach you today in the yeshiva?" Amar leh, so the tinok tells Rabbi Zera, he said, "Kishut bore pri adama." On kishut, on hops, you make bore pri adama. Haziz shakol niyabed baro. And on the unripened wheat, you make shakol. Amar leh, so Rabbi Zera tells him, "Adraba." Tells him on the contrary, ibcha mistabra. It makes more sense the opposite. Hi, me'ar'aka marbe. The haziz grows from the ground. It's wheat, it grows from the ground. Therefore, it makes more sense to say, bre pri adaman haziz, ve'hai me'avira'ka marbe. And the hops only grow from the environment. Which is, where do the hops grow? They grow on top of the thorns and the thistles in the field. And therefore, they don't grow from the ground. They grow from the environment. Therefore, it makes more sense to make shakol on the hops. So comes the Gemara and says, Ve'elcheta ki yinuka deber rav. But the halakha follows the child. The child was right. Why? My ta'ama, hai gemar peri. Which means the hops are considered finished. It's a finished fruit. And therefore, it's shayach to make bore peri. Because it is a peri. It's finished. However, hay lab gemar peri. The haziz is unripened. So therefore you can't call it a peri yet. Therefore you say, shakon yav baro. So the Gemara says, umay de ka'amar. But that claim that Rabbi Zira said, hay me'ar'a karabe, ve'hay me'avira karabe. Right? Rabbi Zira said, how can you say, bure peri adaman, the hops? It's grown from the environment. It doesn't sustain itself, doesn't grow from the ground. So the Gemara says, lahi. That is not a true fact. Kishut name me'ar'a karabe. The hops also grow from the ground, and they draw nutrients from the ground. How? They are kahazina and proof pudding. Because we see the katlina la lehizmata. If you cut the bush that these hops grow on, what happens to the hops? Umaita kishuta. They die. So what do you see? If they were growing from the environment, what's the difference if you cut the bush that they're on? Ela must be that they also join the nutrients from the ground. Therefore, the child was right. You make a bure pri adama on the hops, and you make a shakol on the haziz. Comes the Gemara and says, ubechafniyot en me'arvin. We learned earlier that one of the items that you do not use for the iruv is chafniyot. What was chafniyot? These were these dates that were not yet ripened. So since we said they're really not edible, right? They're not so edible, they're inferior. So therefore you cannot use it for eruv. So the Gemara challenges that. Ubechafniyot en me'arvin. Well, you tell me that you cannot use me from the eruv, this chafniyot. Ve'hatanya, we have a braita. Kor. Now what is kor? Kor is something that we learned in Masechet Berachot. In Masechet Berachot they called it korah. What was korah? Korah was the rak shel dekel. If you're on the palm tree, every year, there's before it hardens, the top of the tree, there's a little softness to it over there, and they would cut that soft part of the inside of the palm tree, and they would call it korah. We would call that today hearts of palm. So the whole discussion in the Gemara, how do you classify hearts of palm? Here it calls it kor, over there they called it korah. The point is, how do you consider it? Is it a peri? Is it considered a tree? And therefore we're going to have to know for certain halakhot. For example, one halakha you're going to have to know is, can you spend money of ma'aser to buy korah? Is it a food? Furthermore, if it's a food, it'll be subject to the laws of tumat ochlim, which means only foodstuff become tameh, right? To become tameh, ochel, it's got to be considered then ochel. So we have to know the specific, how do you classify it, so we know how to treat it regarding its halakhot. So we have a braita. Gemara says, v'atanya, kor, that's the additional growth of the dekel every year. It starts off soft and it's edible at that point. And then in the winter it becomes hardened like a tree. Nikah bekesef ma'aser. When it's still in the soft stage, you can use the money of ma'aser in order to purchase it. Because again, it's peri meperi. It grows from a tree. And also, it's gedulei karka. It grows on the ground, beautiful. Ve'en mitameh tumat ochlin. However, at that stage, it is not going to be subject to the law of tumat ochlin. Why? Because in majority of cases, they don't eat it. Normally, the farmer leaves it on the tree in order for the tree to become hardened, so the tree will continue to grow. So therefore, there's a difference le'inyan ma'aser and le'inyan tumat ochlin. Now, ve'chafniyot, regarding these chafniyot, these inferior dates, nikahot bekesef ma'aser, you can use the money of ma'aser to buy them, umetameot tumat ochalim, and they are tameh tumat ochlim. Now right there's the question. Once you're telling me chafniyot are metameh tumat ochlim, that means what? That you're considering it a food. And you're considering it a food that people would eat, because for tumat ochlim we have a strict rule. It has to be a food that people will eat and it's normal for them to eat it. If you tell me it's metameh tumat ochlim, so why did Rav say you can't use it for an eruv? Adam, it's considered ochlim. How much should be permissible for the eruv? So that's where the question is. But let's just finish the braita. The braita continues. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kor hareu ke'etz. He says, korah has the status of a tree, meaning it's not considered ochlim. Lechol debarav. For all its laws. Ela shenikah pekesef ma'asir.
The only thing is, you could still use it with maaser money to buy it. Now, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. The Biyuda is exactly the first opinion of the Braita. The first opinion of Braita also said that Korah is only good for maaser. And the Biyuda is saying the same thing. That for anything else, we consider Korah like a tree. But for maaser, you could buy it. The Gemara will ask the Biyuda, Hainu, Tanakama. Continue. When it comes to the inferior dates, they're considered a fruit for practical purposes. Only regarding ma'aser, since they did not ripen yet, so therefore they're not going to be, you can't buy ma'aser with it. But everybody agrees what? That chafniyot ametameh tum'at ochlim, meaning it's considered an ochel. So how did the Rav say above that you cannot use it for eruv? Gemara says, hatam. That which we said in this braita, that the inferior dates are mitametum at ochlim, bedenitzhane. We're talking about the male palm trees. Now, that in the male palm trees, kind of it is male and female, so in the male tree, you have over here the chafniyot are considered the final product, which means they don't eat them past the chafniyot stage, and therefore that's the way they eat it. So therefore it's considered gemar peri, to the extent that what? It's to be considered subject to tum'at ochlim, and therefore since they eat it that way, it's metamet tum'at ochlim. However Rav was talking about the dates from a female tree. And since the dates from the female tree are what? Are not eaten in that stage. They usually wait until they're more ripened. So therefore they're not going to be considered good for Eru. So we have two types of dates. From the Zecharim, that's called the Nitzhaneh. And from the Nekebot. The Zecharim, it's edible. Tumat Ochlim, it'll have. Because it's Ochel. The Nekebot, not eaten. That's why it says you can't use it for an Eruv. So the Gemara asked the question, if that's the case, meaning if you tell me that the chafniyot of the Dekarim Zecharim, you tell me that's the finished fruit, why would Rabbi Yehuda say you're patur from ma'asev then? If that's the final product, and that's the fruit, that's the way they eat it, why did Rabbi Yehuda say in the Braita, you're patur from ma'asev? That's the way you eat it, which is why shouldn't you be able, why are you patur from ma'asev? The Chaurah, you should be Hayav in Ma'asir. Right, because the law is, if it's a food, you have to take Ma'asir on it. If it's not a food, or unfinished yet, maybe you're not Hayav on Ma'asir. But once you tell me that we established this Braita, B'dinitzchaneh, why do we establish it B'dinitzchaneh? In order to tell me why it's B'temet Tumat Ochlim, so the rest of the Braita has to make sense as well. The Braita also said that it's Patur for Ma'asir. Why should it be Patur for Ma'asir? Now, we know that the Biyuda made a statement. Ve'atanya amar Biyuda lo uskeru. In the Bet Midrash, when they mentioned two types of figs, page bityone, that's the figs of bityone, that's the name of a place, those are considered dates that did not ripen yet. Ela li'anyan ma'aser bilvad. They were said li'anyan ma'aser, that what? These items, even though they're not ripened yet, they're going to be hayav and ma'aser. Why? What was said about them? Page bityone. The figs of Bityoneh, the Ahine de Tuvina, and the inferior dates that grow in the place of Tuvina, which are the male dates. Hayavin b'ma'aser. Clearly Rabbi Yehuda says they are Hayav and Ma'aser. So therefore your answer is no good. Let's review. You tried to answer me that the Braita that says Tumat Ochlim is considered Nitzhaneh. Oh, that doesn't work out with Ma'aser. Because how come Rabbi Yehuda said in that Braita you're Patur for Ma'aser? He holds clearly that on these items you are Hayav and Ma'aser, because that is the finished product of that species. Also, then we're back to the question. Question being, Ela must be talking about that Braita was talking about the female tree. And that's why it is Patur from Ma'aser. Oh, if it's Patur from Ma'aser, because really it's not considered the finished product, and really it's not eaten as such. So now how come Rav said, when it comes to therefore what? Rav said earlier, regarding chafniyot, what did he say? That what? That you cannot make eruv on them.
Because really they're not edible. But what do you mean? This bright over here says, the metametumat ochlim. If the metumat ochlim, the chaura, they should be also viable for eruv. So the Gemara says, Ela le'olam lav bederitzchane. We're not talking about the male dates from the male trees. And therefore, Ela le'olam lav bederitzchane. Le'anyan tumat ochlim shani. Don't bring me a proof just because it's metameh tumat ochlim, it's considered food and therefore it should be used for an eruv. I can tell you we're talking about the dates from the female tree. Is it metameh tumat ochlim? Yes. Is that a proof that it should be also usable for eruv? No. Why? Because tumat ochlim we're a little more lax. Even though these dates are unripened yet. It's the female one, right? Has another stage to go. Since you can do something to them, either cook them, or roast them, or do something to them, make them edible in that stage, even before you do it, it's considered ochr. Mm-hmm. However, for eruv, they have to be edible
ready to eat
in the moment, without any adjustment. Our whole question was based on, if it's metameh tumat ochlim, it's food. And therefore, it should be usable for eruv. Gemara's answer is going to be no. For tumat ochlim, we're a little more flexible. Tumat ochlim could be an item that's not edible the way it is. But since you could do something to make it edible, it's metameh tumat ochlim. But for eruv, it has to be edible in the present way. And the Gemara is going to say that. Gemara says, "Le'anyan tumat ochlim shari kedamar Rabbi Yohanan ho'il v'ra'u le'matekan al yedei ha'ur." Rabbi Yohanan said regarding a different item, since you can roast them, it's considered food for tumat ochlim. Hakan am here to buy the kafniyot ho'il v'yachol le'matekan al yedei ha'ur. Since you can roast them in the fire, make them edible for tumat ochlim, they're considered an ochlim, therefore they can be metameh. However, for eruv, no, for eruv they have to be edible in the present state. Comes the Gemara and says, "Vehechat mar Rabbi Yohanan." Where did Rabbi Yohanan make his statement regarding food that will be mitameh tumat ochlim? So the Gemara says, "Aha, detanya on the bright that it talked about almonds, shekedim hamarim. You have the almonds that are bitter. There's different type of almonds. You have bitter almonds and you have sweet almonds." So the Gemara is going to discuss both categories. We discuss first the bitter almonds. Shekedim amarim, ketanim, when they're still small, hayavim, they're going to be hayav in ma'asir. Why? Because when they're small, they're still not so bitter. They're still edible. And therefore, since they're edible, you're going to be hayav to give ma'asir. However, when they get bigger, what happens to them? They start getting bitter. And therefore, gedolim, peturim. Now, mitukim, which means when you have the sweet almonds, those are the almonds that are sweet even after they get big, so therefore, gedolim hayavim. Certainly when they get big, they're going to be hayavim ma'asir because they're sweet. Ketanim peturim. Why? Because they didn't finish their growth. Now, Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yose Omer Meshum Abid, Rabbi Shimon said the name of his father, Zevazeh Patur, which means he says, whether it's the Gedolim, or whether the Ketanim, you're going to be patur from Ma'asir. Gedolim are going to be patur because they are bitter. No, because they are bitter. And therefore they're considered edible. Ketanim are going to be patur, because since they didn't finish growing yet, they'll also be patur. Some say the opposite. Zeva zeh lehayuv. Some say no, the opposite. That the Ketanim and the Gedolim are going to be hayav. Amar Bila, the Bila said, and halakha would be both gedolim and ketanim are going to be patur. So therefore, the Gemara now is going to start to discuss. The Gemara says, "Ulman dama zevaze lehayuv." According to the opinion that says both the small ones and the big ones are going to be hayav, which means how could you tell me that the big ones are going to be hayav? They're bitter. They're not edible. How could you be hayav ma'asir? They're not edible the way they are. So the Gemara said, no, they don't sweet. The bitter ones become bitter when they become big. So if I understand why you want to tell me when they're small, you're hayav, because they're still sweet. But when they get big, how could you tell me they're hayav? What's the purpose? They're not edible. So on that, Rabbi Yohanan came along and said, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, o'il v'ra'il matikan al yedeha ur. Since if you roast them, you can make them edible, therefore the Hayab Maaseh. So that's where Rabbi Yochanan said his deen of what? Of if you could make it through cooking or roasting edible, it's okay. So then we're going to say the same thing by the Chafniyot. By the Chafniyot, the dates. For Tum'at Ochlin, even though they're edible the way they are now, since if you've cooked them or roast them, they'll be edible, be Shayak to Tum'at Ochlin. But Fa'iruv, that's not enough. Fa'iruv, they have to be edible in the present state. Amar Mor, we have a statement, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda said, Kor, regarding this hearts of palm, right, it's considered a tree. However, you can use it for ma'asir, which means nikah bekesef ma'asir. If you have money of ma'asir and you want to buy hearts of palm, you can. It's considered a peri. The Gemara says, if you look in the Braita, that was exactly the first opinion of Tanakama. Tanakama also said that it's considered a peri for ma'asir, but for nothing else. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara, what's the difference between Tanakama and the Biyuda? Amar Abaye, shelako v'tigno ikabinayhu. The difference is going to be if you cook them and roasted them. Which means, if you cook them and roast them, so now they become truly edible. Which means they're edible in a... Everybody would eat such items. The question is like this. Rabbi Yehuda says the Korah is considered etz be'alma. Etz means, I don't care what you do with it. If you cook it, if you roast it, whatever you're going to do, it's considered etz, and therefore, no matter what, it's never going to be subject to Tumat Ochlim. Mm-hmm. However, Tanakama will say, it's not subject to Tumat Ochlim so long as they're raw. However, if you cooked it and roasted it, now they become more ra'ui fa'achila, it'll be subject to Tumat Ochlim. So there is a nafkamina between Tanakama and the Biyuda. Both agree for ma'asir hayav. Meaning what? You can use ma'asir money to buy korah. It's considered a peri. It's considered gedulei karka. So what's the nafkamina between them? Are they subject to tumat ochlim? Everybody agrees in the present stage. Patur. There's no tumat ochlim. Because it's really not considered so edible in that stage. So what's the machloket? Machloket is if you made them edible. According to the Biyuda, if you cooked it and you roasted it, doesn't matter. It's be'alma. Whereas Tanakama will say no. If you cooked it and roasted it, we're now subject to Tumat Ochlin. But Kifla Rabba, so Rabba says, Mi'ika lemanda amar shelako v'tigno lo? Is there an opinion that says once you cook something and roast it, it's still not subject to Tumat Ochlin? How could you say that the Biyuda is going to say, even after you cook it and make it a food, it's not going to be subject to Tumat Ochlin? Impossible to say that. Why? That Tanya, we learned in the Braita. Ha'or. Or is the skin of the animal, right? That Shilya. Shilya would be like the placenta of the animal. And mitame'im tumat ochlim. They are not subject to tumat ochlim because really you don't eat the skin or the placenta. However, or shishilako, but if you cooked the or, the Shilya shechishev aleha, or let's say the placenta you intended to eat them, mitame'im tumat ochlim. Then they are mitame. Why? Even though the or is not edible in the present state, but if you've cooked it, it is tumat ochlim. So therefore, how could you tell me that Tanakama is going to say that even if you the Biyuda is going to say that even if you cook the korah, it's not something tumat ochlim? Impossible. Once you cook it, it's considered food according to everybody, even or, which means like this. I'm going to say the way that she learns the question. Korah was edible even raw. So called shekin when you cook it. This over here is odd. It was not edible at all, raw. And cooking makes it subject to tumat ochlim. So kal va'omer, korah should be subject to tumat ochlim according to the Biyuda. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela amar Rava, Rava says, ika benayu, there's a different nafkamina between Tanakama and the Biyuda. De itmar, kor, regarding the beracha. On Korah. Remember this famous machloket from Berachot. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Yehuda said, the Beracha on Korah is what? Bore Pri Adama. Ushmuel Amar, Sheakon Hiya Bidbaro. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Bore Pri Adama. What's Rabbi Yehuda's logic? Why did you say Bore Pri Adama? Uchlahu. Because it is a Ochel. And it grows from the ground, it grows from the tree, let's say. So then we could say, Bore Pri. Ushmuel Amar, Sheakon Hiya Bidbaro, Kevan Shesofo Lakshot. Since it's destined to harden, to become part of the tree, it's not considered a peri, and therefore lo mevarechin alaveh, you cannot say bore peri hadama. So therefore we have a machloket, famous machloket Amoraim, what the beracha on the hearts of palm is. Is it she'akol or is it hadama? So now we'll say that's the nafkamina between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda that said this item is an etz. What was he saying? It's an etz le'inyan de beracha. Therefore you're going to make a she'akol. Whereas Tanakama will say no, it's considered a peri, therefore you can make bore peri hadama. Meaning there is a nafkamina between Tanakama and Rabbi the Braita. What's the nafkamina? What beracha do you make on Korah? Comes the Gemara and says, Amar le Shemuel Rabbi Yehuda. Shemuel tells Rabbi Yehuda. Now again, what was Shemuel's opinion? Shemuel said you make she'akol. But look at the honesty over here that Shemuel had. Even though Shemuel argued on Rabbi Yehuda, and Shemuel said you make she'akol, he tells Rabbi Yehuda, Shinina, meaning sharp one, Kevatech mistabra. So you know something? Makes sense what you said. It makes sense that you're right, that you're supposed to make Borei Peri Ha'adama. Why? De'asnon she'sofo lehakshot, radishes also eventually, if you leave them in the ground, become hard, like a tree. And you still make Borei Peri Adama. See, so my logic is not right. Meaning I said the whole reason why you make a she'akol is why? Because the venture is going to become hard. But I'm not right, because radishes also become hard, and still we all agree that you make Borei Peri Adama. So it sounds like Shemuel conceded to the Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Velahi. Gemara says, that question of, or that proof of Shemuel is not a good proof. Why? Which is at the time of the planting of the radish, you're planting with intention to eat the radish. And therefore, it's considered a peri, so you can make borei peri adama. Dikla, but when you plant the palm tree, people don't plant it for the korah. You know why? Because if you have to plant it for the korah, you're going to have to cut it. And then you're going to lose the whole tree. So therefore, there's a difference. If you're planting it for the radish, I don't care if it's going to become hard, you could make adama. Masekin Korah, most people plant the palm tree for the dates and for the other things that come. If you're going to plant it for the Korah, you're going to lose it. And therefore, since it becomes hardened, Shemuel's right. You should make a she'akol. So the Gemara says in the conclusion, "Va'pagav de kalsis Shemuel Rabbi Yehuda," and even though Shemuel praised Rabbi Yehuda, meaning he said, "You're right when you said to make borei peri adama," hilchetake batei Shemuel, alaka follow Shemuel that you make a she'akol on the Korah. Baruch Adonai le'olam, amen ve'amen.